This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Brentford FC, come on you Brentford, come on you bees, come on you Brentford, come on, sit
back. This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast, coming to you in the virtual joint a couple of days after the Brighton game, and the day before we head up to Old Trafford to hopefully complete the double over Manchester United. I was just saying to myself the other day, we're still able to do the double over Man United, Man City and Liverpool, and it's just bonkers. Doing it's another matter, but we're in it. Joining me this afternoon is Matt the Allard. Allard, how are you, Mr. Allard?
I'm very well. Very well indeed. It was a cracking game on Saturday. Shame the result didn't quite go our way. But I think it was kind of it probably wasn't a fair result if you look at the XG, but it felt like a fair result, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the first question, really. I mean, now the dust has settled on it, and, you know, you're right, it was a really entertaining game. It was a great away day, Brighton usually is. The sun came out in bits, and it was chilly in bits. I think we had typical spring, we had all four seasons in one. But most importantly, Brentford really put on a performance, I thought. You know, to go ahead 3 times against Brighton, I thought took some balls. We proved again we can create chances against the very best, and I thought Brighton really, over the two games, they really are amongst the best we've played. You know, looking back, Matt, now, as I said, now the dust has settled, how do you kind of see that point and the performance?
I think it was a good point, really. You know, I think there's always more than one way to look at a game, and you can look at it and say, we're 3-2 up and we're in the closing minutes of a game and we don't close it out, and but it was unlucky, the penalty, wasn't it? I mean, people put their bodies on the line and sometimes their arms get in the way, which is what happened. And then, there's another way of looking at the game and saying that, like you just said, Brighton are I really do think they're one of the best teams we've played this year. They're very, very good at ball retention. They pass brilliantly. They're as good a passing, two better passing sides in the league? Maybe Man City, Arsenal? Is anybody else better, do you think?
No, I don't think. I think Arsenal, we saw them at their best at Brentford. They were okay-ish at the Emirates. Man City, obviously, we didn't see them at their best, did we? We beat them. I think, on games that we've been involved in, I don't think the team's impressed me more than they have. So, I'm delighted to come away with a point. Looking back, but you're right, at the time, just a couple more minutes and just a little bit more luck, I guess, then we get all three.
I suppose you can throw Newcastle in the mix. They're a decent passing side, aren't they? But they're much better than Tottenham. And they're playing better than Liverpool, really, at the moment. So you can make a. And I know this isn't a Brighton podcast. No, it's a Brentford podcast. But you can make a really good argument for them to, possibly get that fourth Champions League place.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? I mean, it really would, you know. And, yeah. You know, I know we're kind of embroiled in the battle for seventh and eighth with them at the moment, but I think they're better than that. And we've got to prove that we are too. It's going to be tougher for us. I think they stand every chance of really breaking some records this year. And I wish them well. I've got nothing against them. So
I'm not sure Matthew Benham shares your wishes.
No, probably not. But you know, his beef's different to mine. You know, I can't share the same gripes with Bloom that he does. I just think they're both. They're two exceptional teams with two incredible owners that are kind of just, you know, ebbing each other on to greater and greater success.
I think what's really interesting is that they're like a front foot team. You know, they try and control games and they try and win games by controlling games, which is more or less the opposite of what we're doing at the moment. And it feels like they've moved to a level ahead of us, which, you know, they've always been 2 or 3 years ahead of us, maybe 3 or 4, and it feels like they've sort of taken it to the next level, which maybe is a level we can aspire to in a couple of years. Their performance kind of reminded me of our, you know, like when we were in the Championship and we used to run games and control games and pass teams out of games but not always win it. It feels like we've sort of flipped from that. We've recognised where we were in the Championship, and now we've moved up into the Premier League, and we've recognised that we're not going to outpass and outplay teams, albeit sometimes we try that when we go 4-3-3 against some of the teams nearer the bottom. And it's sort of a flip to how we did play, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I don't think I'd really thought that through so much until recently, where I really, you know, people are starting to call us a bit of a long ball team and stuff like that. I don't think we're a long ball team. I think we're a counter-attacking team. I think long ball teams for me are more where you throw three big blokes, where you play a centre forward on the right wing and the left wing and up front, and you just lump balls towards them.
You can't get much longer ball than their equaliser, their first equaliser from the goalkeeper. Yeah, do you know what I mean? You've got to do what you got to do. You know,
and I look at that and I think that isn't, for me, that's a counter attack goal. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It's not the long balls for me are those sort of diagonal balls hit when you overload a quarter of the pitch. You know, they're long balls. We play counter attacking football, I think, more so than I would say long ball football. And Brighton were exemplary at it for their first goal. It was almost a classic Brentford goal in some respects, wasn't
yeah.
it? Great even, pass by the goalkeeper, and then you know, breakthrough, and you could imagine Wiese doing that or Bumo doing that as well. It was a great goal.
And if you're going to be harsh, you can say they lumped it in for the second as well. Lumped it right into the mixer.
Yeah, you could. It was a bit of a lump. Yeah. I mean, it was a good cross, wasn't it? It was a cross we should have stopped, if we're brutally honest. It was sort of like, it was one of those sort of, when you think back to, all footballers have their weaknesses. We know what Jensen's weakness is, and that probably showed up one of his weaknesses, if that makes sense, you know?
They do. We kind of had 2 or 3, though, didn't we? I mean, you know, I listened back to the podcast after the game and I thought, oh, I'm a bit harsh on Hickey there. And I called him out as having a right stinker. You've got a bit more of a tactical brain than me. Did he have a stinker?
I think the problems came down that side for various reasons. I mean, I think it's I think Matoma's a very, very good player, so he's not going to be easy to defend against. And I think that I think Rico had the same problems against Solly Marsh. You know, I don't think Hickey was, it was exclusively Hickey's fault. I thought the back three was interesting. So if you think of that back three, it's two left footers and a right footer, which ideally in your back three, you want Pontus to play as your middle of the back three, because then he's less likely to get caught out by sort of marauding wingers. But because Pontus is right-footed and we've had that balance of Pinnock playing in the middle, when we brought Pontus back in, rather than push Pinnock out to the right, which I think was the way we played when we had those three as the back three before, we pushed Pontus out to the right. And I think that probably was part of Hickey's problems as well, was that I'm not sure Pontus, probably if Pontus needs to play, it's going to be as the centre of the three. I'm not sure you can push him out on the right. I just, because he lacks a lot of pace.
Did you expect a change of shape at half time?
No, I didn't. I wasn't really sure what we could do. I thought if we go 4-3-3, I didn't really think that helped us defend against the wingers, albeit that it would push, because we were playing 5-3-2. You know, you talk about 3-5-2 or 5-3-2. Well, we try and play 3-5-2 and get our wing backs up. But I thought we got pinned back a bit and we played 5-3-2. So if you'd have changed it tactically and gone 4-3-3, maybe you'd have got an extra player further up the pitch. But I wasn't really, I don't know, they might have sliced us open even more. So I wasn't sort of screaming for a tactical change at half time.
I noticed Rico ventured over to the right once or twice as well. I think they, you know, obviously, as you said, Matoma's exceptional. He's another speed freak. I don't think Hickey will come up against a trickier, winger. Hopefully he doesn't. You know, Matoma's on top of his game. There's hundreds and hundreds of Japanese tourists. I don't know if you saw them outside the ground afterwards. There was queues and queues and queues, you know, really long queues, almost the length of the ground for waiting for him. He's a real star there.
Maybe if you do go 4-3-3 with Hickey as right back, maybe Hickey doesn't start, he's not as far up the pitch, so he's almost facing Matoma rather than chasing him. Maybe that helps in some elements. I think we missed Jan Elst's energy in midfield, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, coming on. I think that you know, that could have been a good change. But I thought a point was always going to be a good result at Brighton, and like you said, at half time, it's, you know, if we've got a point at half time, do we want to change it, or do we? Didn't feel like were we sitting ducks maybe a little bit, but we do like that. We do like to go into that sort of low block and we back ourselves in it. And we almost more than got away with it. Almost won it.
It's true. And we weren't last on Match of the Day. And I don't know if you saw Match of the Day. I mean, lots of big news this weekend. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers got sacked at and Leicester. Graham Potter got sacked at Chelsea. But the biggest news of the weekend was Micah Richards apologised to Brentford for calling us bang average. And, you know, he seemed to properly have his tail between his legs. He didn't even laugh. He was deadly serious, which is really unlike him. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I wondered if he got a little bit of stick in the sort of the pre-recording chat from the others that were on the show, but it was good. Yeah, I mean, it was a real sort of, it was a real recognition of saying, you know what, Brentford, they're doing really well, and let's be honest, you know, when you look at that relegation scrap, we're a level ahead of it, aren't we? And we've moved a level ahead. And I thought that's, you know, that. Effectively, I think that's what you can see now. Sometimes I think when you try and... You can't watch all the football all the time. Do you know what I mean? So you sort of make these assumptions rather than actually you say what you see, because you might not watch that many Brentford games or whatever. So you make bad assumptions. I think he made bad assumptions.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's best to have some knowledge when you have an opinion on something, you know. When you're a pundit, at least, I'm telling.
Like I said, bad assumptions.
Yeah, no, fair play to him. And I did rewind it just to make sure I wasn't hallucinating. And he did say it. So, yeah, fair play. We move on.
We'll see, but
the thing is with us, we have to continue these high standards now. You know, it's the minute you slip, the minute they start going, oh, third season syndrome and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're going toe-to-toe with Brighton, which is a brilliant place to be. And the Amex was a brilliant place to be, I have to say, during the game. So let's head back there very briefly. Let's get some opinion from fans straight after the game, and then back in the pub, back in the centre of Brighton.
Taking a point away here is amazing. Well done, Beast.
Great game, yeah. Loved every minute of it. Yeah. Lucky to come away with a draw at the end, I think. But I'll take that.
What a fantastic game. I mean, it was a great game of football, but to be feeling disappointed with that referee's decision towards the end, gutted. They're a very good side, and they are where they are. That's why they're sick.
Take the point. We did really well. We're three or four years behind them in terms of team and structure and everything. So to do that today, they did really well in the end, hung on really well. Second half, dug in, did all right.
Second half, they battered us, let's be honest. Raya was outstanding. They're a great side, Brighton. I think they're the best team I've seen us play.
They play great football. McAllister in midfield is world class. Two wide men are very, very good. I'm not sure Rico and Aaron would have had their run around like they did today for most forward lines.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
If someone had said that was Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea in the old days, you'd have kind of gone, I can see it. They're a good side, very good side.
We were under a lot of pressure today, more than I can remember, I think, in any game this season. Brighton are an absolutely top-class side, so that is a really good result for us.
There you have it. The fans' opinions straight after the match. And yeah, there was a mixed bag there. I think, you know, they just underlined what a good point it was and just how tantalising and close it really was that we could have come away with all 3 points. It would have been a bit of a robbery, but, you know.
What did you, just out of it, I mean, in terms of VAR, what did you make of the penalty decisions, the two Hickey? Do you think they got them sort of both right?
It's funny because... I had a little Billy went. Billy said, he was right next to me, and he said, "Penalty, definite penalty. He's moved his hand towards the ball there." And I went, I said to him, "How the hell do you see that from here?" And it was because we were right at the other end, and it just proves how dodgy my eyesight is at the moment. So I'm going to the opticians, and fair play to Bill, he called it out. He was the absolute VAR merchant, so he's obviously got bionic vision where I haven't. So. Unfortunately, he's got a bit of an issue, and hope everything's all right at home, Bill. Hope the son's okay. I'm sure he will be, and hopefully he'll be back with us on Saturday for the Newcastle game. So we will move on briefly because we're gonna have like a brief post Brighton pre Man United podcast now, and then we'll come back to you later in the week, probably Thursday or Friday morning, more probably, and preview the Newcastle game. From having one game a month, what it seemed like recently, we're going 3 games in a week, which is quite some hectic schedule, especially as we're down in Brighton, up in Manchester, on home turf against Newcastle, three of our probably trickiest matches. I don't know if you saw the Man United game on Sunday, Matt, but they were kind of very average. They were the kind of Man United that we hope we come up against tomorrow. It looked like they had their eye on Europa Cups and FA Cups rather than chasing a Champions League place. I know that they wouldn't have gone into that wanting to lose or been sort of half-hearted in it, but it looks like they've got good chances of winning more silverware. And Newcastle were okay. You know, they did what they had to do. You know, they maybe a bit better than okay, but you know, nothing truly special. Nothing that's sort of title contenders, that's for sure. So we come up against them at Old Trafford, which is our second visit in the Premier League, and another one of those performances last year where I don't think we did ourselves justice on the big stage. We kind of went down with a bit of a damp squib, and it was a damp whole night as well. What's your thoughts going into to the game up at Old Trafford, Matt?
Well, I think I agree with you about the Newcastle Man U game. I thought Man U looked like It was weird. You know, like they turned a corner? It looked like they sort of turned another corner, but it's going the wrong way again a little bit at the moment. I hope that doesn't come back to haunt me. But I'm not saying they're anything like they were at the beginning of the season when they were pretty diabolical, if we're honest. But I do think this is probably a better time to play them than I would have thought a month ago. I was thinking that this fixture was sort of looming, and I was thinking, oh, we're going to do well to get anything out of it. I think having watched that game Sunday, two things occurred to me. And we're not going to talk about the Newcastle game so much here because we've got time to do that after the Man U game. But Newcastle, I thought, looked really good. I do think the centre-forward, Isaac, I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's a really, really brilliant player. I noticed him in the Euros 3 years ago. But he, to some extent, was the difference between the two teams, plus a bit of sort of pace out wide. Man U looked a little bit ordinary. Weghorst, you feel like we should be able to deal with him. You feel like, you know, he's not going to worry us for pace. He's just a sort of a bit of an old-fashioned centre-forward, albeit he's been part of the reason that, you know, Man U have started putting in, you know, at least some sort of consistent performances. But, you know, they're missing Casemiro. Casemiro's still out, isn't he?
Wednesday? Yeah, he's on a extended ban, isn't he? I think he's part of that.
And without sort of saying that Casemiro is the sort of, you know, the be-all and end-all for United, I think he's a massive miss for them. They may be missing Eriksen a little bit as well at the moment. I mean, you know, I feel it was weird last season. I felt relatively confident going into the game as well, but they just sort of, I don't know what happened last season with us at United. Ronaldo had sort of probably one of his last decent games. Wasn't it in that game they didn't play a centre forward and we had three centre backs marking nobody? And then, I recall, they had about three number tens. Yeah.
It was their last home game of the season, wasn't it? And I think they just wanted to put in a little bit of a shift. And they didn't do a lap of honour, but I think it was a fairly sort of more impressive performance than their fans had become used to. Because there was demos outside, Brentford fans got attacked. Hopefully there's none of that. Well, there won't be any of that tomorrow. But I'm assuming that Man United will have a bit of a mission to kind of undo the 4-0 defeat that they suffered at, you know, the hands of us in that first home game of the new season, which, you know, I don't think any of us will ever forget, being 4-0 up at the break against Man United. But we go there, well, I think with a realistic chance of, you know, being at least undefeated against them this season, if not to do the double. I think Thomas Frank will be itching to kind of out-tactic another of the big guns. It's a real test for him, as well as obviously the players tomorrow night.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder how we approach it. I suspect we stick with a very similar side to the Brighton game. I'd be really surprised if we don't play 3-5-2. That seems to be the way we play against teams that are above us in the league. I think that's probably pretty much where to some extent where the split is. I wonder if we freshen it up a bit. Sharda, is it worth throwing him in the mix there? Do you know what I mean? Maybe give Mbeumo a rest, because, like you said, the game's coming thick and fast just at the minute. You know, three games in a week. I don't think we will do that. I think we'll probably stick with what we know. But maybe that's a little sort of twist that we could throw in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm itching to see more of Sharda, but I'm just not quite sure how he might fit in tomorrow. We've obviously got Roslev, who's fit. Whether he's fit enough to start, we'll have to see. But there are options there, mate.
You could make an argument that Roslev could come in for either Pontus. I don't think he will, but he could come in for Pontus, or he could come in, you know, or he could come in as right wing back.
So you're expecting Pontus to start again, yeah?
Yeah, even though I think it's not great for the shape, I think he probably will, because I think we're going to play three centre backs. I think, you know, the player that should really be playing in that position is Aya. And we have seen Roslev play there. You know, he has played there. I think he played there against Tottenham. I think he may have played there against Man U in the 4-0 game. I might have that completely wrong. I've just pulled that from somewhere, but
big game Mads. He's been part of all the massive performances and results, hasn't he? He's a real unsung hero, isn't he?
And yeah, he is. And it's no disrespect to Pontus either, because I just think that Pinnock's going so well playing in what was Pontus's role. It's just difficult now to get, you know, to fit Pontus back into the team. So it's no disrespect to him, and there's always an argument that you want a captain on the pitch. But there's so if Roeslev comes in, he could play in either of those two positions. And then there'll be a juggle in midfield, because I would imagine, I don't think Damsgaard will start tomorrow. I think that might get juggled as well.
Yeah, there's a, you know, chance, you as you say, that he might get rested. But you know, I'm not quite sure that there's that kind of competition in the middle at the moment without Yanel being in the mix. You know, it's quite difficult. Damsgaard has got the quality and has got the class on his day. We've seen it, and you know, I don't think any of our Brentford players will need reminding of what tomorrow means to us as a club. And you know, Man United fans will be rolling their eyes and going, "Oh, it's your cup final," but of course it is. You know, these games are, you know, legendary to us, and we're going to enjoy every minute of them. As I said to you earlier, I hope we can go up there and do ourselves justice this year. So, what's your predictions, old chap?
Well, I've got an amount of confidence. You know, I think we can steal something there. I'm just hoping that we. And you talk about, you know, we turn up or whatever. I just hope we get the tactics right. And maybe if United do play with a number nine this time, maybe that will play to our strengths a little bit more, rather than, you know, Bembe sort of chasing shadows, let him have a punch up with Vegas. Do you know what I mean? Because that's kind of, I think, plays to our strengths. And like you said, Man U, I suppose there is an argument that they are due a decent. I'm sort of sitting on the fence here, aren't I? Badly, I'm trying to the other. That they are due a decent performance, but for the last couple of games I've seen them play, I think we're going to be more than a match for them. Maybe not in possession and stuff like that, but in terms of scoring goals and creating.
Give us a score.
I reckon 1-1 tomorrow night.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll take that right now. Yeah, I'll go 2-2 actually. I think there are going to be chances both ends. I think, you know, anything's possible. We're capable of getting a battering. We're capable of getting a win. And we're capable of getting a draw. You know, it's depending very much on what Man United turn up, and as you rightly say, the tactics. Thomas will be, as I said, itching to prove his weight and to prove his worth.
What I think was noticeable was that, I mean, Newcastle got them out wide, didn't they? I think to some extent. So you know, and their pace is, you know, was good as well. So maybe, you know, that it's about getting players forwards, and it's about getting a bit of, you know, getting the wing backs a bit further forwards, essentially. That always leaves you, you know, potential to get caught out. But you know, you die by the sword, whatever that's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always wary of McTominay. I think he's a good player. Rashford's got, you know, he's got again afterburners, and you know, Bruno Fernandes, and there's quality throughout that team. We're going to be pushed. But it's one I'm massively looking forward to. Setting off early afternoon, and hope the traffic's nice to us. Have a safe trip up there to all you Bees fans that are probably listening to this on your way. Listen out, as I said, to a pre-Newcastle podcast that should be coming. That probably comes Friday morning. So we're going to wrap this one up now. We've done our predictions. We had a really good day out in Brighton. We're hopefully going to have a really good night in Manchester if you're staying over. There's some cracking venues and some really good pubs that open quite late. So have a good beer, and hopefully there'll be plenty to celebrate. As I said to you earlier, hope Billy and his family are all right, and we look forward to having him back on the podcast on Friday. So, thanks for joining me, Matt, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Yep, thanks. I'll see you up there. I'll be on the train, and like you said, best wishes to Bill and the family.
Speak to you soon. Come on, you bees.
Come on, you bees. You bees. Brentford FC, come on, you Brentford, come on, you bees. Come on, you Brentford, come on, sit on, you bees.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.